Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to navigate with us the movie Mission Impossible, 1 minute at a time. I'm Dawn.
I'm Chris.
I'm Jonathan.
Aw, crap.
And I'm Dave. Just bringing out the rear.
And we're going to leave that in.
Yes.
What?
Good. Very good.
This is Minute 18. We are being joined again by Dave Pallas from the 5 Minutes of Mystery. Welcome again, Dave.
I'm glad to be here.
Good. Well, this minute begins with Glitzen typing on a computer and ends with a shot in the dark. Dun, dun. We're actually going to be leaving the set for the first time in 2 weeks, which is refreshing. So this minute begins with Glitzen typing his username and password into the computer. And then he pulls out the greatest invention ever. The 3.5-inch floppy disk.
Woohoo!
Otherwise known to our younger listeners as the save icon.
Yes.
3D printed.
Yes. You also may know it as a coaster at a hipster's house.
Yes.
We actually used to use those.
And they would hold 1.44 megabytes of information.
Really? That's all? That's crazy.
No, it's not. It's more than you'll ever need.
It's possibly not even enough to get an entire photograph in if the photo is too large.
you know how many Word documents you could put on a floppy?
Two now?
Four. I think four.
File size inflation is a thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this mission's a lot different from the one in the video game. I just want to make sure, because
there's not a level where you insert a floppy disk into a beige computer.
I wish it was that easy.
While wearing weirdly white gloves, it's kind of strange.
Dude, this level goes on for like four sub levels. Like, it's not just sneaking in into the embassy, but like you essentially have to get through like a whole hallway of lasers, rescue like two different people. Then you gotta get like the supercomputer. It's not this computer. The computer they use in the video game is like a cool like big tall like you know like 8x8 refrigerator looking computer that you have to disable. And then what's cool is the first embassy level before you go in, you have a contact at the bar and he gives you your equipment. So it's like the face maker. And he gives you these smoke grenades, and you're supposed to like make sure the security guard doesn't see you, and you put all the smoke grenades in all the vents. And so when you're done all those levels and you escape, then you get to play the CIA escape thing where it's like there's smoke everywhere, and you get to run out as a fireman. It's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, they mixed and match this and the CIA the actual CIA mission level in the N64 game.
If I'm playing a game, I want to be Hannah.
You want to stand around and do nothing?
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
That sounds like
just
a terrible
turn my
game.
Glasses, just turn my glasses on to infrared, watch a dude, and then leave.
That's sort of like the ET game for Atari. You just kind of sit around, watch a dude, and leave. Try not to get caught by the FBI guy.
Well, in this scene, the spy glasses catch all of Glitzen's traitory.
Okay, I checked. I went back in the previous minutes. There are now two books when Sarah only put one. She put one soft cover book on top of that computer. And now there's
a shot of two books underneath the glasses.
It's probably a deleted scene somewhere.
It's probably just the basement poltergeist.
And it just kills me that no one on the set, the continuity thing. Or like, unless it was like a longer scene where he's like, higher. No, even higher. And it's just Sarah going back and forth like with books and like different books. Like she gets an encyclopedia. He's like, no, too high.
Yeah.
And she's like, what about this magazine? No, it's too small. You gotta get somewhere in the middle.
That's just like, right, Goldilocks, right there.
They're like, and, she needs to do something in this scene. We can't just have her standing there looking pretty, so. Books it is!
She's also cold, so.
She's also cold, that's true. She's also
her
cold.
Through line is, I'm cold.
Yeah, no, I saw.
I wish they would give her a real job.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta say.
No, there were some jackets, I'm sorry, I checked again. It was a blue jacket and a gray jacket. Maybe there was a black one off camera, but yeah, she gets that black jacket just from like, I guess off the computer chairs, which yeah, it's really compromising the mission.
She had a bag of holding and, every spy should have a bag of holding.
That is a spycraft 101. No.
Galitzin's the only one wearing gloves in this whole damn mission.
That's because he's smarter than all of them, apparently.
God.
It only takes about 10 seconds for the knock list to be copied. And then we hear, those of us that remember, that satisfying pop when the disc comes out of the tower computer.
Mm-hmm.
That's because remember when the disc would get jammed?
Yeah.
You'd hear that horrible sound.
And you'd have to get a paper clip and push that little ejector button that would allow it to eject.
Are you laughing because you're too young to understand this? That's what's going on.
No. As I'm thinking about it, I'm scrolling through the minute again. Cut to 12 seconds and just watch Galitzin's body again. Watch him do that. I'm checking Reddit lean. Like, just check that Reddit lean. That's me. That's me logging on a computer at work. I sit down and I turn on Reddit and I just do that little lean back. Like, what we got here? That little just pop the left shoulder back and you just go on Reddit. Oh my God. I mean, it just made me laugh. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I like it. He's definitely engaged. All right, get the knock list and copying. I will sit back. Ah. That I would not be that casual if I was committing treason.
No. He's thinking about what he's going to spend all his money on.
All right, so, apparently, Ethan needs to dig up at Jack one more time. He's like, "We got it." And he goes, "I saved your axe." Again, Jack.
And then, out of nowhere, Sarah says, "Such a nice ass."
Yeah, like maybe he's got a chance now.
Sarah, you flirt.
But then he goes, "A lonely ass," and saddens me.
I don't know if it excuses Jack's flirting earlier.
No.
But I can't stay mad at the star of the movie, Emilio Estevez. I just can't. He's so cute. Right now, Ethan and Sarah are underneath the elevator. And Ethan is looking at his watch, which has a TV on it, and he knows that they've gotten what they needed on Galitzin, so the mission's half over. And then he says that transport is in 5 minutes. I assume that means Claire, who's been sitting in the car, needs to turn the car on.
Actually, it's really weird if you think about it, because he clearly has access to all of these areas. So what is actually that weird about getting an image of him going to a computer, which he probably normally uses, and doing something on it? That's actually not terribly incriminating. Their resolution is so bad that they can't tell what's going on.
Yeah, the angle's not where you can... It'd be better if it was behind him.
Yeah.
Like a over-the-shoulder shot.
Or, put two glasses in there and you get one at the one angle and one at the other angle. But,
cut back and forth, yeah.
He probably has access to that list anyway. That's the other problem. He has access to that list.
Have Ethan go in and say, "Sarah, I need a piece of string so I can dangle these glasses above his left shoulder." And no one will notice that there's like a mobile of glasses hanging there.
Yeah, the mission isn't like getting the list. It's just the list itself, like and some buyer.
Because they want the list out in the open, and they talk about it. The second it's out in the open, they all start kind of panicking a little bit.
Right, but they're taking this really risky mission in order for them to get footage of him sitting at a computer doing something. Mm-hmm. And that's all they're going to be able to prove if they were to show this to anybody else. Oh, he was sitting at a computer doing something. What is he doing? We don't know because we can't tell what was on the computer. And he has access to that computer anyway.
I assume in 90s fashion, they can zoom and enhance.
Right. Because that's totally how it works.
So they'll know exactly what he's doing on that computer. I really like that Ethan is using his his wristwatch.
His Apple
that's
Watch.
That's also a TV. Because it's funny, in the newer movies, they don't rely on phones almost at all.
No.
Which is funny because there's tons of cameras in your phone now. It's almost like the movies lean on emergent technology more than they do available technology.
Yeah.
So the second cameras became commonplace to everyone, Mission Impossible's like, "Well, we have to ramp it up. We can't use this anymore."
Yeah.
So is it maybe Galitzin? So Galitzin's wearing a glove and... We just said he has the authority to touch the knock list. So what's with the glove? Is that just fingerprints on the disc itself?
None of it makes any sense.
De Palma!
Writer of this movie!
Yeah, that too. Probably David Koepp. Is it David Koepp?
It is David Koepp and Robert Towne.
Okay. Yeah, Robert Towne came in and finished it, right?
It was Tom Cruise's choice to come in and fix it up.
At second 39, we got back to Jim's POV watching him, and we see Ethan's glasses, and we come back to Hannah, who's just staring at more people on the staircase.
Well, because she hasn't been told to go anywhere yet.
Yeah.
So she will literally stand there until she passes out.
God. Hey, it's hunger. Dedication.
She's at least trying to do her job.
Now she's not even look at the she's not even looking at the place where he would be coming up from anymore. Now she's just looking at people on the stairs.
Yeah.
Ba-ba-ba, killing time. Ba-ba-ba. And at this point, the mission when once the mission actually becomes partially completed, the music completely switches from this weird staccato flute and drum snare drum, you know, to create tension to extremely triumphant Mission Impossible theme song. When the music becomes triumphant, we get an editing cheat in Ethan's mask. They show Ethan's mask and he starts to rip it. And he's only ripping off the side, which is like the ear part.
Yeah.
You can tell, and they cut really quickly back to Gallitzin.
I think maybe like they were trying to get the mask to come off more, and they just like, yeah, it hit that point where the rubber and the latex or whatever it is just like, it just stopped.
Well, because it's a great mask, but that's because it's actually probably attached to his face.
Yeah.
Mm. And they later on figure out how to make a mask better, which is, you know, something that you can pull off all in one piece. At that point, they didn't have the CG to allow them to fake that yet.
No, we got that weird rubbery CG at the beginning that looked like a video game.
Yeah, where you can actually see it becoming a plastic mask as he's pulling it off.
Yeah.
So this time they just made it like, okay, we'll just, everyone knows he's ripping it off. Do some shorthand. Go back to Gallitzin.
Gallitzin, yep. And Gallitzin, yeah, takes a knock list on a discount. Puts in his tuxedo jacket, hits what looks to be the L, maybe enter, but it's like somewhere between L and enter. He hits somewhere on that keyboard that turns the screen off.
Okay.
He also switches his jackets. I realized this time he actually isn't pulling a jacket out from somewhere else. He's literally flipping the jacket inside out. So it's black on the inside and white on the outside, which is pretty cool, actually. It's a reversible jacket.
Reversible, fitted, tailored tux jacket is probably pretty hard to do.
It's magic.
Well, does that count as tech? Just good tailing count as tech?
It's low tech, but it still works.
Mm. Okay, cool.
That stuff is hard to sell.
Ethan reverses his jacket, and Sarah does nothing to change her appearance. They're not going to remember her, even though she's the one who gave her ID, and the senator didn't give his ID. So, okay. Let's move on from that.
Well, he's not coming out as a senator now. He's coming out as somebody completely new.
No, the senator never left.
No.
The senator went down that hallway and into that elevator and
stayed
was
there.
Never seen again.
He got eaten by the basement poltergeist.
Jack starts packing up, and Ethan and Sarah escape through the hatch that Jack originally came in the elevator well. And they slip out the service entrance by the river, and they're going to slip out into the cover of night. So that's where we get to our first exterior shot of the embassy. And Dave, just so you know, this was actually shot at the U.S. Embassy in Prague.
Wow, they were cool with that?
Not the interiors.
Yeah.
But all the exteriors.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, this was huge for them because Prague at that point wasn't getting a lot of love when movies.
It's true.
I mean, nowadays, Prague is used a lot.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
It is. It's used a lot more because of its it has neoclassical architecture.
Okay.
And it's very popular, so they can double it for other cities. It's probably cheaper to work there, and they can still have cheaper labor, cheaper sets.
Okay.
And then they went back to London to do all the interiors.
Okay, yeah, because I didn't know about Prague, but I knew Glasgow in Scotland. Mm-hmm. They've been using that for a lot of shows. Like they use it. I think they use it World War Z with Brad Pitt, and then for Philly, and then the Americans uses that for DC because apparently that architecture is like whatever East Coast cities same style.
Speaking of Czech cities, apparently everybody films in Dubrovnik these days too, because again, you can create Renaissance Italy, and it's right there. You don't have to build all the sets.
Yeah, because easily Prague could double probably also for an older, you know, an older time period very easily.
Mm-hmm.
It's really intact.
Yeah, it's amazing. We had talked about this in the previous minute. The interior shots with all of the stairs where Hannah is actually their natural history museum in Prague. They actually prettied it up for these scenes. Now it's open again. It's actually not open. It's being refurbished, but it is a working natural history museum.
You guys taking a trip there?
No, I'm not going anywhere.
I would love to.
Yeah, I would love to.
And we'll do the last five episodes from Prague.
Done. I'm in.
What?
said we'll do the last five episodes in Prague.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll tell my wife that.
It'll be recorded at a Czech jail.
No, we're going to record it from inside an elevator shaft.
At the U.S. Embassy.
Hopefully not from the top of the elevator shaft.
No, because that's where... Well, I can't talk about it yet.
I don't
that's
know
where nothing happens at all, ever.
From the Tony Beretta shaft.
Prague, the Toronto of... Or the Vancouver of Europe.
But prettier.
Prague, the Vancouver of New York of... Chicago.
It's more like the Atlanta of Europe.
Oh, yeah. Now that we've spun off into this tangent,
yes.
Let's talk about what tech tickled our fancy in this episode. Dave, you want to go?
Oh, it's gotta be the screen, the classic Dick Tracy screen on the wristwatch.
Yeah, that thing is cool.
That is cool.
What is that, like a what, three quarters of an inch by 3/4 inch? I mean, it's pretty tiny.
I wonder if it's got iTunes on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's got pretty good clarity for that camera.
Yeah, it's got 35mm clarity on it. That's what it's got.
I like it. That's a solid pick.
Yeah.
Because also it's something that we've never seen except in spy movies at this point. People still weren't wearing – there were some probably that were wearing like TVs on their wrists that would pick up antenna-based shows. But there was no way to watch a movie or stream or anything like that. So
All I can think is that the Warren B. Dick Tracy, I think, is the only movie I can think of in the 90s that did this same type of bit.
Bond, of course, had stuff like this.
But. Oh, yeah, what the heck? Bond always had stuff like this.
Fun fact, you guys know this, when they would do the Dick Tracy watch shots, that was not an actual hand. It was a sculpture. Yeah, because a human arm will actually move. Because when you have a human trying to hold your arm still for the camera to get the shot, you fidget too much. Like, nobody can quite keep very still. So they actually just built a sculpture of that and stuck a watch on top of it.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Chris, you got anything for tech?
The floppy disk.
Yeah, that's mine too. I love the floppy disk.
Floppy disk. It's throwback.
Yep, I'm going to have to go with the floppy disk too. It's too big to be practical. It's too small to be practical. It doesn't hold enough stuff to be practical. It's fantastic. It's the best tech in this episode.
But at that point, it was really, really practical. It was once upon a time actually practical.
Here's a stat for you. It was so practical. There were 5 billion of them in the world in 1996. I found that statistic.
Wow.
There were 5 billion of these floppy disks.
They still are 5 billion of them. They're just on hipsters' coffee tables.
God, I should have went reversible tuxedo. I knew it.
Yeah, you should have.
Well... Unfortunately, you can never change your answer.
Nope, that's it. I'm stuck with this. This is my life now.
We will talk to you tomorrow for Minute 19. Hopefully, we'll find out what's going to happen to the knock list. Dave, thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem. You can always check out any of our stuff at Min Impossible on Twitter, MIN Impossible, or the Impossible Minute Force on Facebook, where we talk about everything from books, comic books, anything having to do with Mission Impossible, and pretty much anything about movies. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Dawn.
And I'm Dave.
This minute will self-destruct.